And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September the 20th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 29. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in to the show, everybody. Let me do the claps real quick. Get these out of the way. And we're done, ready for the show. Show note to mention is if you were expecting us to do that interview or even start that interview that we were trying to do last week, that had to be postponed yet again. Not for technical reasons. He's just not going to be, he wasn't going to be able to be around for the interview, out of town, that sort of thing. And he's not going to be available next weekend either. So we do have him lined up for the weekend after that. And we will try to make that happen. I'm still talking to him, and we had some good conversation. There are things I wish I could tell you, but he told me not to, and so I can't. It was all technical stuff. It's all, like, you know, financial stuff, you know. And I wasn't even digging for the information, you know. I just kind of asked him, you know, how things were going with the game and everything, and he's doing very well. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. For a solo developed point and click puzzler, basically, that he's doing. I don't feel like the genre for that, or the, not the genre, I don't feel like what am I trying to think of? The demographic or whatever, you know? The audience for that, I think, is not that big, but to do as well as he's doing, it's quite well. And hopefully he'll be able to talk about that when he comes on. He did mention stuff about talking about the industry and things like that, and I absolutely hope that we can have that kind of conversation to talk about what it's like to be a developer and putting out a game when you are surrounded by other games, just a massive influx of other little solo-developed indie-type of titles. I didn't see a lot of advertising for it. If you were aware of the Myst series and things like that, then you likely, from your socials or wherever you subscribe to things or look at things, that's likely how you heard about it. That's how I heard about it, was from the Myst subreddit. And he would post there and probably post into other puzzle Reddits and things like that for people to look at. But it's doing very, very well for him. So looking forward to talking to him about that game. That's coming up. Again, it's not today. It's not next weekend. But it should be the week after. The weekend after next, when we get in there. I see Matt is currently playing Mafia the Old Country, by the way. That's something I'm looking forward to getting around to playing. I've enjoyed the Mafia games, with the exception of 3. And I don't mean 3 of them. I mean the third game in the series.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the first 2.
That was the weakest of the entire thing.
It got too open world, you know? Mm-hmm. It got too open world. There was too much to do to worry about the story or whatever else. It was just a bunch of, like, let's just throw stuff in there. And I don't know. I didn't play too much of it. I did play some of it, but I didn't play too much of it. But apparently, like, when it opens up, there's just a ton to do. And the focus on what the game was trying to do gets lost among all the different stupid little missions and things like that.
So it's a weird thing, though, because it's not like you're leveling up in Mafia, is it?
Because I don't remember.
Because usually the side stories, open world, things like that, you have a lot of stuff to do in order to level up your character
so
you get to the end, like a Fallout 4 or something along that line.
Well, there may have been that mechanic in 3. Mm-hmm. I don't remember there being a mechanic like that in 1 or 2.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, because Mafia,
story-wise, you just moved along and moved up within the group.
Yeah, because Mafia sounded like a pure story.
Mm-hmm.
Story type of game.
Seemingly, yeah. I mean, it has open world in a sense that L.A. Noir had an open world, right?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a bunch of different missions to go do. You just had the city of Los Angeles that you could drive around, all of it, if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was some collectible stuff to pick up as well.
Yeah, collectible things like you can do a lot of street crimes that you could pick up, the side mission here or there, for probably a different car or a different outfit that Cole could wear. But for the most part, you were focused on that series of cases at each desk of every department right. of the police that you were
yeah.
going through.
And there was yeah. no penalty from focusing on that case or just driving around L.A. if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no real penalty for any of that. In the same way, I want to say Mafia 1, not so much, but I know Mafia 2, you were, I mean, again, the missions were there and the world was open to you, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily an open world where it's like, here's all these things to go do.
Yeah.
It was just yeah. you didn't necessarily have to drive from point A to point B. You could drive, you know, a long way around to get from point A to point B.
Right.
If you wanted to do that. So it was open in that aspect, but not open in the sense that there's a mission over here, there's a mission over there, there's this thing over here you can go do, and this over here that you go do, and then there's the main storyline that you can go do, but there's all these other things that you can occupy your time with.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that, which I think is what they did with 3, mm-hmm. which is what they threw in there. Which, again, I mean, I say that that hurt the game, but I feel like there's a reason behind it. And what I mean by that is that my memory is not too great as to the mechanic of how it all worked in Mafia 3. Because usually in open-world games, you don't necessarily have to go do any of those things. You can just follow story. I'm playing Spider-Man right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could just barrel through the story missions if I wanted to. I don't necessarily want to do that. But in Mafia 3, I absolutely wanted to do that. And I feel like I couldn't. I feel like once the map opened up, they wanted you to go do something side questy. In other words, we're not moving the story along until you've done this side quest thing. You know?
But forced.
Well, in a sense that, yeah, we're opening up the world. Here's a side quest to go do. Go do it. Once you did it, I don't necessarily know that you were forced to go do others.
Mm-hmm.
But you were, I think, forced to go do that.
Yeah, I mean, some games like that where you have a wall until mm-hmm. you do certain
kind of a tutorial yeah. type thing where it's like, okay, go do one of these missions and then we'll open it up for the
yeah,
rest.
I'm thinking of like Grand Theft Auto 3. You couldn't go across the bridge until it was fixed. So while it's being fixed, you have to do all these other missions. And until you did them, then the bridge right. got fixed and you can go across to the other
yeah.
side. So yeah, something like that.
And in GTA, I don't discredit that. It's an open world game.
Mm-hmm.
It's what GTA is. It's going to have missions like that and open world missions and things like that. But Mafia 3, I can't remember it being that way. I don't remember. I have the game.
Yeah, it was free for on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't remember all the mechanics and things like that. So, hey, speaking of games, we haven't mm-hmm. even jumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been playing recently?
The only thing I've been playing this week is Division 2. I'm still hunting for a certain rifle I wanted to get for my character, but haven't been able to find it yet, so I'm just still plugging away till I pick it up. But I've also been trying to undo the field data for the firewall specialization in the game as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would get this crazy in terms of what I had to do. See, normally when I build up a specification, I just have to, like, take out a certain person a certain way, take out a group of individuals with this type of weapon, you know, things like that. Do this mission on hard difficulty and up and above, right? But for some reason, in Firewall, it got really specific and out there. I'll give you the best example. It's called That's So Mean. Basically, I have to do this to 5 enemies. I have to set the enemy on fire, run up to them, salute them, then take them out.
Yeah.
And I have to do this 5 times. I'm like, and I'm thinking, where did this come from? Because there was nothing like that in all the other specializations that I was going through this game. So that's just on section 4 of 5. So I can only imagine what part 5 is going to look like, because this came out of nowhere for me.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, just trying to do missions here and there, build up experience and everything, and thinking about going for the DLC for the game. I haven't picked it up yet, but it has more items, more weapons, more things of that nature. So I'm thinking about picking that up and finishing off that game later on down the line.
No. I remember in Destiny, I think there was a specialized game mode that only came around. It wasn't Iron Banner, but it was something else, mm-hmm. where you would get points. Maybe it was Rift. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But you got points for doing specific things, and mm-hmm. one of the ways to maximize your points was to taunt before finishing. Like, they added finishers in Destiny when you got people low, and so if you taunted and then did the finisher, you got so many extra points because you get points for a taunt before a kill, you get points for doing a finisher, you get, you know, all
style
these point, different
style
things.
Points, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And so I remember doing that, where it's like, hey, you got to go do, you know, you got to go do this. And that was the way that you could maximize your points, was taunt or whatever it was. Emote, I think. Maybe it wasn't even taunting. It was just emote. So you could do that. What else? Anything else you play?
No, it's pretty much it. That was just focusing on Division II this whole week, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's been Spider-Man 2, by the way, I should say. The PlayStation 5 Spider-Man 2. I've been playing that in the slowest means possible.
But you're having fun with it.
I'm absolutely having fun. I mean,
and
I play
it, have at it
every single day. I have around 6 p.m. I will fire up the PS5 and I will play for an hour, maybe. It depends on what time I actually get around to playing. So if I don't start till 6:30, I'll play for about 30 minutes. But usually 7 is my cutoff.
Yeah.
I go to bed very early during the week, and so... Yeah, I don't. I make sure that I'm kind of out of gaming mode before 7:30 at the latest, just so I can relax, calm down, and you know, go to sleep when I'm supposed to. But point being is that yeah, it is something I've played every single day, and I've enjoyed all of it. Really, I don't. I'm too early in both the story. I'm way too early to give you any kind of, you know, talk about how much I'm enjoying this over the other one. It feels like, so far, every mission seems to be, and by every mission, I mean every main story mission so far, is feeling like a set piece. And by that I mean, it's extremely either stylized or very action-oriented or something like that. There was one of the early ones, and again, for those of you who have already played this, the game's been out for like 2 years. So it's taken me a while to get to it. You know, it's doing the backlog stuff.
Yeah, same here.
But one of the missions was, you know, Peter and Harry Osborn going back to their old high school. They're all graduated now and, like, doing, you know, whatever adult stuff that you do after high school. In college, I guess. But... they go back to their old high school, and they're remembering their time in high school. So you're playing flashbacks, and you're also playing current. So in other words, they get to the high school, and then it does a flashback of Peter and Harry in high school. Doing whatever, and then you play a segment of that, and then it goes back to the two boys at their old high school that has now been closed down and locked down or whatever, you know, and they're just kind of going through doing memories, and then it flashes back again, back forth, back forth, back forth. Meanwhile, you're unlocking new abilities, and you're, you know, learning new things, because it's very early in the game, so you're learning new stuff. And then, like, the very next mission I played was one with Scorpion and... Kraven, although Kraven wasn't there, it was the Kraven goons or whatever. Remember I told you Kraven goons coming in? So yeah, and like they turned over this big ship and it starts moving into the pier and you've got to save all these people. It's a massive little set piece, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Tons of cinematic things going on, massive set piece. So it feels like it is either, every story mission seems to be a significant piece of gameplay, whether it is an event type thing, like a big action set piece, or I don't want to necessarily say tutorial, because eventually I'll be getting out of that, but more of a, maybe even character development, possibly. But very, very well done compared to some of the side missions, which is what I've been doing a lot of. Currently, I am locked out of side missions. I have done all of my side missions that I'm allowed to do. A lot of the map shows me different sections of New York City, different sections of it where it tells me here's all the things you can do in there, and a bunch of them are locked right now because I just haven't advanced the story far enough.
Fog over the city type thing, or
no, not fog over the city. I've gone everywhere on the over the city, but when you look at the map, it'll tell you different boroughs or different sections of the city. It's like you've done these three random crimes, which is good, but then everything is like question mark locked. Because you have not advanced the story enough to get to that point.
Okay.
And that's just me playing as slow as I think I'm level 27 now, but I'm so...
You're way ahead of what the story...
Level-wise, I'm way ahead of where the story would absolutely put me.
Yeah, because I think the last time you said you were like level 11, but it was like for level 4 mm-hmm. that you need to unlock this thing, but you're like way ahead of the game.
I'm way ahead of the game as far as that's concerned. And I don't necessarily mind, but I'm running out of things to spend my upgrades on.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing's unlocked for me as far as movesets and things like that.
You're going to have to save them for later.
Yeah. So, well, I looked up something earlier this week, I think, because I was just like, you know, maybe I should check. Because I see these come out all the time when a game releases.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I don't necessarily always play that game when it releases. And so it's something where I read about it and I'm thinking, I should keep that in memory and go back to it.
It's like we talked about a while back. What games are you there for day one nowadays? And it's mm-hmm. not a lot.
It's not.
It's like 3 or 4 I could think of off the top of my head, but there's so many more. There's a heck of a lot more than 3 or 4 games coming out every month. So,
yeah,
the backlog grows.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with it?
You said something you had to keep on your memory when that game comes out.
Right. I went back and I looked up. A lot of websites will post things like, here's 10 early tips for Spider-Man 2, or so 10 early gameplay tip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, here's what you should do in the early game of the thing. Like, you should put all your points into this aspect, or you should keep doing this, you know, whatever the case may be. They're like, mm-hmm. hey, we finished the game. Here's what you should do in those early levels while you're just starting out.
Right.
You know? And so I went back to those, and I'm like, oh, let's see what I should be doing. And sure enough, I should be spending, you know, my power-ups, whatever it is. I should be spending my skill level points mm-hmm. into this tree rather than the other tree that I was putting it in. Which is fine. I've just started to go back and do that. Mm-hmm. And everything tells you, it's like, hey, you should do this up until you get the black suit. Which I have not gotten the black suit yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that comes in, but yeah. So, I'm enjoying it very much. And really just need to advance the story some so that I can get more to do.
Yeah,
that is throughout the cities there. What else have we played? Marvel Snap, of course. Enjoying that. And, oh, let me tell you, RJ.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, RJ, it just happened, I think it was Friday. Mm-hmm. I think Friday I got the notification that the playtest is available for a sequel to a game you and I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have invites to the playtest for this. Mm-hmm. Speedrunners 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it was only on PC that I got the invites for.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of that Friday. I didn't play any of it today, but I played a lot of that Friday, and I lost a lot. It's been forever since I played the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was trying. I had to get back to my, you know... The other thing is, these are maps I don't recognize. You know, you could memorize a map to know, like, this is where I need to fire my grapple hook.
Mm-hmm.
I need to slide under here. Okay, we got a wall to wall jump coming up where if I can hook my grapple just right, I can fling myself up higher and, you know, get that little extra
navigate
whatever.
A bit quicker, yeah.
Had to relearn like muscle memory of where to how to slide.
Mm-hmm.
As you you know, to go under boxes and that you get a double jump. I'd forgotten about that. And then some of the power-ups and everything else. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been losing left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But the hook of, all right, I lost that one, but I'm going to play again. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I lost that, but I'm going to play again. That hook of just continuing to go until you're satisfied with yourself,
mm-hmm.
which you will never be, by the way. If you just win outright over and over and over again, you still will never be satisfied because that's a good feeling. But yeah, to come out, I've won in all that I've done, and I played a ton. I've won one race, and by that, and what I mean by that is, it takes 3 race wins to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
I have only won a race once. Well, I've not won a game, but I've only won a race one time.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, do I love it. It's good to have it back. I don't know. Is your PC working?
I'm almost there with it. I got to get a, because Windows 10 is about to be phased out, so I got to get up on 11. So
yeah, I'm still on 10. I'm not moving. Yeah. I'm not yet moving over. I can, but I've not yet moved over just yet. So, but yeah, Speedrunners 2 is something I've got. I got into a couple of playtests. I haven't done anything with them, but I know I got into one of my old Destiny folks sent me an invite into another playtest. I don't know, I have to look it up and see. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Or what type of game it is.
I said it was first person. It's either third person or first person, like looter shooter type thing. I can look that up. You know, you do that now. Steam. And I can check that real quick. I say real quick. I say as I try to make my laptop move, and it's not. You know what's quicker? The phone.
It's not Exoborn, is it?
That sounds familiar.
An upcoming extraction shooter?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. I think that's it. Is it got a yellow tent logo looking thing?
Let's see.
Is it yellow?
I don't see any logos. Oh, there it is.
What'd you call it? Exoborn?
Yeah, there it is. It is some yellow.
Exoborn. Yep, that's it. Exoborn.
Okay.
That's what I got to play today. The playtest is currently live.
Yeah. Exoborn is an open-world tactical extraction shooter set in a world torn apart by extreme forces of nature. Customize exo-rigs to gain strategic advantage in the ever-changing weather conditions.
Yeah.
Exo-rigs.
Somebody invited from Destiny invited me to that. And so I've been playing that as well. Well, no, I haven't been playing that, but I'm there with it. So, yeah. I would say that that's pretty much all that I've played.
I'm trying to think if it's anything like, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was a PlayStation game. I think it was The Struggle, The Strain, The Something. But you had these exosuits, and you had to get parts for it. I wonder if it's anything like what I'm seeing with Exoborn.
There's a couple of trailers on Steam that show it off, and I believe there's a dev, I don't want to say dev commentary, but a dev interview in those little trailers there for it that you can look at. But I don't necessarily remember. Nobody in the chat room is saying a word about it, which is fine because it's only in playtesting right now, so who would? But, yeah, a couple of games got released that are on my wish list that I would like to pick up. Daymare Town was one of them that I enjoyed so much during one of the demo Next Fest things or whatever it was. Daymare Town, like, absolutely hooked me. And I'd been waiting for its release, hadn't heard anything, and then just the other day I got a notification, Daymare Town on your wish list is available or on sale. I was like, oh, it's out. That's great. $20-some-odd. It did not feel necessarily like that type of a game to me. I was thinking maybe it'd be around 12 or 15. But yeah, the $20, I was like, okay, I can wait. You know, it is, keep in mind, we've talked about this before. It is, 2 weeks from October? Which then will put us a month away from November, which of course then is your big sales and your Black Fridays and things like that. So, you spend your money the way you want to spend your money. But I advise you that things that you may be buying now within that span of time could be seeing a discount of some sort, possibly significant, compared to what you paid. And, you know, maybe you just want to be patient. But again, your money to do what you want with it. Yeah. Absolutely.
By the way, it was called The Surge.
Not familiar. I bet I would be if I saw it, but it's not ringing any bells in my head
right now. That's again was thinking about the exosuit, rough environment, and specializing in really, really melee combat more than anything else. But you can get some weapons you can shoot your opponents with now.
Yeah, Borderlands has been out for a while now. That made me think of Borderlands here, and Borderlands 4. Not something you're looking to drop into. But we do have some.
I hear it had issues running.
I know. Yeah. We got some great news as far as... I have at least 4 articles dealing with Borderlands 4. Mostly dealing with Randy Pitchford. But four articles with Borderlands 4 that we'll be getting into a little bit later on during the show there. So anyway, we're here at the bottom of the hour, and it's time to take a break. We have music here. This is our old school music day and or weekend, where I go back and I try and find some old stuff. Lately, I've been theming those. And this week's theme, because I played Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain on the PlayStation, going way back, watching the old Silicon Knights logo come up, which has been forever since I've seen that. That company is no longer around. But the company that is still around, or at least hopefully is still around in some way or another, or at least had enough library of games that I could pull music from, is Crystal Dynamics. So these are all from Crystal Dynamics games. And this first one is from a game called Whiplash. It is the main theme from that game, and we will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Project Snowblind. The track is Return Revenge, I guess. You were looking up Whiplash?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the one we went into the commercials with. What did you find out? Is it I thought it was a racing game, but it's not.
I thought it was, yeah. It was like two beings are chained to each other, and I guess they're using the momentum of that to traverse to a level, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, most of these were older games.
Yeah, let's see. Gameplay much like any other platformer, the player controls only one of the characters and uses the other one as a weapon or a tool as the situation requires. So yeah, they're tied to each other. It's like a rabbit and a weasel are chained to each other. And one uses the other as needed to go through the level.
Sounds like a... Remember the old wrestling gimmick? The leather strap match
leather
or whatever
match,
it was?
Yes.
They're all,
yep.
They're all chained, tied together, whatever. They're strapped together. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back into the show here. Moving on with, I guess, the news that we got. I don't know if I want to... Do I want to go over all the damn Borderlands news? Which I can, because maybe it means that that'll be the last we really talk about it. But
For now,
exactly. This comes from, what is this, PC Gamer? Yeah, PC Gamer writes about the fact that Borderlands 4 is currently the top-selling game on Steam. Peaked at 288,000 concurrent players. This is in spite of the fact that it's a bit of a stuffer fest, or probably stutter fest, is what they meant. But while the frame rate may be nothing to write home about, Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford is so confident in the stability of the Borderlands 4 servers that he's encouraged players to log on and try to break them. Quoted him as saying, "I'm telling you that it's going to be very unlikely you guys can be enough people to break the back end and take our game down. I know there have been some high-profile back-end online systems failing around big AAA game launches, but not this one." Honestly, to me, this sounds like, what am I trying to think of? Like reverse psychology stuff?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he probably knows where the pre-orders stand on the game and how many people are playing the game or are going to be playing the game and that sort of thing, and he wants more people to play the game. And he doesn't care if the servers can hold it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He just challenges you saying, like, our servers are the best. Just try to take them down, which, you know, is a challenge. And so Maybe some people will try and do that. I don't know. That's not... That that's not necessarily the way that I would think that somebody's actually going to make a challenge for that. Like, yeah. try to take down our servers, because, I mean, you can, and you don't necessarily need a whole lot of people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's so convinced the servers will be able to take whatever gets thrown at them that he said, I'll find a way somehow to reward everyone and to make it up to everyone for showing me that it can break. And even if they don't break, players who jump in this weekend will get access to the Break Free Cosmetics Pack. So you'll still get free stuff. So that was them. That was him talking about it earlier in the thing. Then, what else do we have? VG247. The headline on this says that Gearbox tries to prove that Borderlands 4 players that the game is optimized, but it's not. It does not run well on a wide range of PC hardware, but Gearbox is convinced it all has to do with the settings players are using. Excuse me. The debacle has certainly given the game a certain image, and developer Gearbox clearly isn't happy with this current state of affairs. Unfortunately, developers decided to respond to the complaints in a strange way that ends up actually undermining its point. The saga of Borderlands 4's performance troubles on PC is a very common one. It's a modern AAA game that performs worse than you expect it to, given the hardware it's running on. In this case, too, the visuals aren't impressive enough to warrant how heavy the game is. Borderlands 4 also runs on Unreal Engine 5, which has itself become something of a punching bag. Anytime a game that uses it runs into technical issues, players are quick to blame the engine. If you want to add in the DRM, which is de novo, to the mix, then the game really has the full package of kind of messing up with your stuff. Gearbox's solution to all that negative feedback, which includes many hours of content from top tech YouTubers, was to release ideal settings for some of the most popular NVIDIA and AMD GPUs on the market, which it suggests players use. There are two massive guides, one for each of the brands. So you got your NVIDIA guide, you got your AMD guide. It lists every single in-game setting and the recommended value for each if you want 1080p, 1440, or 4K. It's a bit of an overkill, considering the initial settings released for Borderlands 4 ahead of its launch were nowhere near as detailed. These updated guides, on the other hand, offer frame rate targets, resolution, and whether or not upscaling is required to achieve each one. Unfortunately, as detailed as they may be, the two lists only serve to prove players' points that Borderlands 4 simply isn't optimized well enough to take advantage of the hardware that it's running on. The reason that upscaling is required for almost every single one. In fact, for most of the higher-end GPUs, achieving a frame rate beyond 60 frames per second requires frame generation, which the two guides clearly state. Frame generation, if you're unfamiliar, is similar to motion smoothing in that it sort of interpolates the frame buffer to add more virtual frames, resulting increasing input lag is what happens when it does that. In other words, especially with NVIDIA and the way they're going with AI, it looks at the frames and then AI generates more of those frames in there to give it that push above 60. You're not technically getting true 60 frame or true whatever you're, if you're doing 120 frames or 60 frames or whatever, anything above it, you're not necessarily getting true that. You're getting AI generated sort of thing. And it doesn't, and it's not what you would think AI generated stuff would look like, from what I understand. But no, if in your head you're thinking, oh, is it AI that kind of gives you that? No, it's nothing like that. It's generating screens for, like, you know, the amount of time you see that screen is so minimal. But it does it enough so that it looks like your frame rate, so like you're getting more frame rate than what you are. But it's now causing input lag because of that. Frame generation is generally recommended for players who can already reach above 60 frames per second comfortably, as its drawbacks become much more serious when your hardware or settings combination can't reliably achieve 60 frames per second without it. My card does not have frame generation on it. I didn't make it. That was in that cutoff before they were able to do that. So regardless of patchworks and everything else that I can put into that card, it's not gonna do that. And I'm still sitting okay with my card, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've thought about upgrading my card.
Yeah.
And it'll continue to be a while before I think about upgrading my card. Games that I'm looking forward to aren't really necessarily pushing the boundaries of any of the cards that I'm looking, you know, that I'm looking at buying. None of the games are really going to force my hand in that regard.
They're not a resource hog.
Yeah, or even make me think about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Not going to sit there and try and work through it and say, boy, maybe it's time to upgrade. No, I'm good.
No, I mean, the games you were looking forward to were like the simplistic drawn pixelated stuff, but it was fun to play. Like that Ball Pit.
Yeah.
Ball Pit.
That's another one.
That's not a resource-heavy
game. Nope. Ball Pit is not. Speedrunners is not. Speedrunners 2 isn't either.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff. I mean, I mostly play Marvel Snap on the PC as well, but almost anything else that I play, it's not really looking to do that. Nia, and you know, I should probably ask Aaron about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Balatro.
Well, Balatro is another one, yeah. I haven't looked at like settings for Nia as far as like here's what the recommended settings are, here's what you need to play. It doesn't look like it's that demanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing really that I see on the horizon where it's like I need to look into doing a card. Going back to these guides for Borderlands 4, the guides only really serve to shift the blame onto players who are clearly advised to temper their expectations and their settings, not to mention rely on frame generation to achieve acceptable results regardless of how powerful their GPUs are. So there's your second story as far as Borderlands 4. We have two more to get into. Although I think they're both the same. So we'll open up Eurogamers here and look at their story on that. As criticism of Borderlands 4 technical performance continues, yes, it's still going on and they're still having issues running it on PC anyway. Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford has told players to get a refund from Steam if you aren't happy with it. Since Borderlands 4's release last week, Pitchford has been on a tirade on social media in defense of the game, calling it pretty optimal. In his latest post, Pitchford stated, "Every PC gamer must accept the reality of the relationship between their hardware and what the software they are running is doing, effectively placing responsibility on individual players to perform their own optimizations." One player responded, "Your product doesn't meet the standards." And it said it took days to get the game to a tolerable state. Pitchford replied, "You can do whatever you want. The game is the game. Please get a refund from Steam if you aren't happy with it." Who is this? I'm trying to see who is this saying this at the moment. Oh, maybe it's more of him. Apparently it's more of him. I guess. Let me see. Well, I'm trying to see where this next quote comes from, but it doesn't say. Anyway, he said that you can do whatever you want. The game is the game. Please get a refund from Steam if you aren't happy with it. You made an analogy to a vehicle. I would not put a Ferrari engine in a monster truck and expect it to drive like a Ferrari. If you tell me about your specification, I can help you optimize your performance. I'm sorry you don't like being told to use DLSS, but that is the way. If you're not happy using the tools available to you to improve frame rate, and you're not happy with the frame rate you have, you should play a different game. The game is awesome, and it is designed to be just fine of an experience at 30 frames per second and feel great at 60 frames per second. We also have provided a lot of options for you to make different trade-offs between frame rate, resolution, and graphics features that we would make, and we encourage you to use those tools to optimize to your taste. Would you like help tuning your experience better to your liking?" I guess is what he was... Despite performance issues across both PC and console... I didn't hear about the console stuff. I know PCs have had the problem, but I didn't hear about any console issues. Borderlands 4 is proving popular. On Steam alone, it has reached a concurrent player count of over 340,000. By the way, this remains far behind the sequel to Hollow Knight, Silksong, that everybody was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The official Borderlands account released some player stats, such as items looted and bosses defeated, with Pitchford adding, "Holy bananas, you guys played a lot of Borderlands 4 over the weekend. The back-end online services all held, which is what we hoped would happen." So, yeah, there you go for more of your Borderlands news. And probably the last of it for this week anyway. And maybe, hopefully, if he will keep his mouth shut, we won't have to worry about it again either.
So, is Randy Pitch for keeping his mouth
he
shut?
He never keeps his mouth shut, man. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, apparently, if he tweets or speaks or whatever the case, he's going to get an article written about it, which just means more free promotion for Borderlands 4.
Yep.
I'd be interested, and I know it's too early to tell, but I'd be interested if so far they're happy with sales. I have no idea where it sits. I have no idea. It's odd because there was a time when I would have been interested in this, but I'm absolutely not.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Not just to play it, but absolutely not interested in what it's doing right now, you know?
I mean, we got out of that a long time ago. I think for you, I forget when you were out of it. I was out
two?
With the two. You were done at two. And for me, it was the pre-sequel. I was done at that point.
For me, I was done at two because I waited too long to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I got it and I waited too long to play it. Because by the time I got around to it and wanted to play, everybody had out-leveled me and I couldn't catch up to them or anything. And I think I want to say I played with you, or maybe it was Matt or somebody I tried to play two with, and it just, yeah, it didn't really go great.
Yeah.
And I didn't go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, two lost me. I think I own three because I either picked it up from, you know, Humble Bundle or some kind of hit you get it free.
Those free things on PlayStation.
Oh, absolutely,
Network.
Yeah. So it had to have been something like that.
Yeah.
Lethal Migraine says, isn't that what server tests, stress tests are for? Why would you wait until launch to test servers? Thar says consoles have a leak issue. Oh, a memory leak? That's not good, if that's what that is. Memory leaks are horrible in games. Because not only do they not get better, they only get worse.
Mm.
Like, it starts out with the game crashing every once in a while. And then the more you play it without getting it fixed or without getting it patched or without, you know, plugging the leak, basically, it crashes more frequently.
Yeah.
Up until the point where you can't really get anything done because of that problem. So, yep. Interesting that the consoles have a memory leak issue. You don't hear, like, consoles, I could totally understand if, like, hey, the FOV slider, you know, my settings are different than what I get on PC, because you just have less optimization options when it comes to your console setting. But to absolutely have a memory leak on a console game, that's kind of a big deal. Which I'm sure they'll be able to patch through and patch it out, that's fine. You don't necessarily see it on PC because not everybody experiences memory leaks. Kind of an outlier, or, you know, one or two people, and I say one or two, but I mean a small percentage of people to come across memory leaks on PC just doesn't warrant them enough to say, well, let's put the effort into trying to fix and patch this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be a number of other factors. Especially on a PC, it could be a number of factors that could be the reason for that. But in console, you know, everybody's got the same sandwich.
Yeah.
So everybody's plate looks exactly the same, so you got to go and figure out where in the meal that you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then fix it for everybody. So that's interesting to hear. So do we have any, like, real quick news that we can hit up? Because that's all of my what is it? That's all my Borderlands.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. We can talk about the PlayStation State of Play, since it could be happening next week. Now, this comes from GameSpot. And they say that Sony's reportedly prepping a new PlayStation event for next week, according to a reliable leaker. However, it's not certified whether this could be a State of Play or a showcase, though there hasn't been a version of the latter in over 2 years at this point. The last two PlayStation State of Play events have each focused on a single game. The July presentation put the spotlight on the first-party exclusive Ghost of Yoti, while earlier this month, Sony showed off the James Bond game 007 First Light from IO Interactive. If this recent report pans out, that would mean two major PlayStation events in 1 month. At the start of September, the leaker nailed when the latest Nintendo Direct would happen. So the guy's got a good reputation of knowing where these things are going to hit.
Mm.
One game that could be featured at the possible PlayStation event next week is Marvel's Wolverine from Insomniac Games. On top of past rumblings about its appearance, a new report from MP First states that Marvel's Wolverine is slated to arrive in 2026. The game was first announced in 2021. Other prospects for popping up include Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet. That's the next one from Naughty Dog. Saros from Returnal developer Housemarque. Or any number of third-party titles. So far this year, Sony has held 5 different PlayStation State of Play events. And keep in mind that the company hasn't officially announced anything yet, so we don't necessarily know that that's what we're going to get, if we're going to get anything at all. But they've got a feeling. I would kind of agree. I'm currently playing Insomniac's Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be interested to know if we're going to, if Insomniac has Wolverine ready to go. Remember the big leak from ever how long ago it was? There was a massive hacker leak thing that happened for Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got into a lot of Sony's plans. They got a lot of stuff from Insomniac. The DLC that might have been planned for Spider-Man 2. There was a couple of other Spider-Man game spinoffs. Wolverine. There was all this like timeline of events of when these things are going to get released. And there was, I don't want to say test footage, but whatever it was, like not even beta gameplay, alpha gameplay, or some kind of gameplay of Wolverine that got leaked in these very short little snippets of video that you could find. And there was some progression, like a Venom game as well on the way. There was going to be a multiplayer Spider-Man game that was supposed to be coming out, and I think that got shelved as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really interesting. I've been curious about that Wolverine game for a while now. But we shall wait and see. This guy's pretty good about hitting it, so hopefully we get something next week so that we can see it. I'd really like to see what this thing looks like.
Yeah,
I'm curious of the traversal in the game. Curious as to...
Yeah, because how to implement it. Because some heroes... kind of hard to make a game for with the implementation, really.
Especially, yeah, like if you look at, you know, if you take what they've done previous with Spider-Man's,
the traversal is simple for him,
right? Like
him,
he's got
him and Batman,
yeah, he's got easy, traversal built easy, in,
yeah.
Not so much for Logan, you know.
No,
he doesn't have a lot of traversal aspects to his power set.
I mean, other than climbing up a wall with his claws extended,
right, which you can do.
Which you can do.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you a sense of... it's sort of, they took the whole Spider-Man sticking to services thing and put it onto Wolverine as well.
Yeah.
Because he can climb walls with his claws. But that doesn't get me from one end of the city to the other in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to how they're going to work on traversal with this. Probably they'll just make the gameplay area small enough that traversal isn't necessarily a big thing. That's the other thing. I don't know where the game is set. I remember in some of the leaked stuff, it didn't seem to be a very vertical area, and it also didn't seem to be like New York, you know? Like, Spider-Man is modeled after New York. The whole setting is modeled after New York City.
That you need buildings to swing around like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's
like a world tour type thing, because there's so many places that Wolverine has been involved in the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. Hopefully, it does kind of just jump around to different places. Maybe I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't even know a storyline, man. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten any gameplay.
Yeah,
like they said, it was announced in 2021, and I think that's all we got from that was a quick little cinematic to announce that, hey, we're working on Wolverine. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing since. So we're kind of still waiting around for that to happen. And maybe we'll get it. Which is interesting that we would get our first gameplay at one of these PlayStation things rather than from just the countless other times that they've had the ability to maybe show it off, and they haven't yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they were... I think... I'd be curious to know if there was a delay because of that leak from ever how many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember when it happened. May have been last year. May have been the year before last. I'm not sure. I save every single one of our news bits so I could go back and find it, actually. But I'd be curious if there was any kind of like, hey, you know what? That got leaked. We need to put that on back burner for a while. before we make any announcements, before we do anything, let's just hold off on that, kind of let this die down and go away.
December of 2023, ransomware attack on Insomniac Games? Yeah.
That was it.
Okay.
That was it.
The hack exposed a massive amount of confidential data, including details about Insomniac's upcoming game, Marvel's Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, December of 2023.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. All right, we're at the top of the hour here. Going to take our break and then come back and dive back into more news for you. This, again, we're featuring games from the Crystal Dynamics library. And one of their big ones outside of, what, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, I think, was one of the Crystal Dynamics, which mm-hmm. I don't think I have any Tomb Raider tracks here. But one of their big titles early on was Gex. And this is the title screen for Gex. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. You're listening to music from... Can you guess that? I don't know that you would.
I have no idea.
Pandemonium? Actually, Pandemonium 2. This is called Border Run.
Yeah, I never played it, but I think that it was like free. I think it was given for free on PlayStation again.
I don't remember at all. Anyway, welcome back in. So, I was reminded that I had this article marked, but didn't throw it in our news thing for whatever reason, just because I think it happened the day after. I compile the news on Thursday, and anything that I do see that needs to go in there, you know, I mark it for Saturday show type stuff. I just didn't have this in our stuff, but... Xbox getting a price hike again, the second price hike in 6 months. For the second time in 6 months, Microsoft is raising prices on Xbox hardware in the United States. New prices on Xbox Series X and Series S will go into effect October 3rd. You have until October 3rd to get them currently at whatever price they are, the first price hike. If you miss out, they're going to be going up again. The company announced this on Friday, and they announced it was because due to changes in the macroeconomic environment. Here's what it'll cost to buy a new Xbox console starting in October. The 512-gigabyte Xbox Series S used to be $379. It's now going to be $399. Not much of a hike, you know, $20.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox Series S 1-terabyte edition was $429 and is going up to $449. Again, not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's another $20 price increase.
Okay.
Which is interesting that they think $20 is how much 512 gigs extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, If you want to get the digital version of the Xbox Series X, that was previously $549. It is going up to $599, so $50 there. An Xbox Series X was $600. Now it will be $650. And then the Xbox Series X 2TB Galaxy Black Special Edition, for whatever reason, is going from $730 to $800. So yeah, the Xbox maker previously raised prices in May. Prior to that round of hikes, the Series X was $499, but that price will have jumped a whopping $150 by October the 3rd. The Xbox Series X Galaxy Black Special Edition has gone up even more. It was $599 on April 30th and will be $200 more expensive this fall. So in the total, over the total of the two price hikes, there's what you're looking at. I saw people responding to this, and I was telling RJ during the break, I saw people responding, man, I could sell my Xbox, my launch system that I bought in 2020 and make a profit at this point. And
it's even about to jump up now.
Even some people were commenting that, yeah, I traded mine in not too long ago. You know how you can trade in at the game stores, GameSpots or Stops or whatever. Usually your trade-in value on that is significantly declined.
Right.
I say declined, but you know what I mean. It's reduced. Somebody had mentioned that, no, I traded mine in. It was only $35 less than what I paid for it, which is not something you normally get out of a trade-in on a console piece.
No, it's almost pawn shop prices.
It really is,
Seeing this price hike is going to make the profit off a trade jump up significantly.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. It's going to be massive. So, yeah, you can actually say, if you've got a launch system, if you paid for a launch system, which was $500, you could sell it for a profit right now because it is $600 now.
Yeah. If you want one, you can get it used instead of brand new.
I'm sorry. No, it's going to be $650 now. I could actually sell it and be like, hey, here's a $600 system for you and make $100 off of it. Something that I invested in, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
And get more out of it. So, yeah. I'm guessing you didn't plug in your laptop, huh?
Nope. No, I didn't.
Was it dying?
It just gave me a message.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it gives you the message. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known anyway.
Nope.
Let's see. In cold comfort, Microsoft says that pricing for Xbox controllers and headsets will remain the same and that pricing in non-U.S. markets will also remain the same. Microsoft's latest price increase comes 1 month after rival Sony announced a $50 across-the-board increase on PlayStation 5 consoles. You got your PlayStation 5 before that $50 increase,
I got
right?
mine just in the nick of time getting that one. Yeah. But then I saw the price of controllers and things like that, after all the accessories and things like that. And I was like looking around for third party or alternate methods of control.
Outside of your controller breaking, the best time to buy controllers is during the holidays. Your Black Fridays, in between your Black Fridays and your Christmases, there are deals all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, even on TikTok, there was a deal. I picked up one last year. A PlayStation 5 controller to use for the PC for like $45.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good deal.
Yeah, see, Amazon's got a deal days coming early October. I know that's coming up. And then you got, like I said, the Black Friday and the holidays and things of that nature. So, I'm going to be looking actively for something.
Another PlayStation 5 controller?
Yeah, because only having one, because like you said, if it breaks, something goes wrong, something messes up on the thing. I got nothing really.
Right. And right now, I've got that second one that I bought for the PC in black. So I got my white one, or I got the one that came with the system, and then I got a black version as well.
Yep.
So, let's see. Going back to this article there, Sony did their $50 increase, and then Nintendo made a similar move in August. They didn't raise the Switch 2 prices, but they did increase the price of the original Switch console. They also increased the price of the Joy-Con 2 controllers for the Switch 2. So, yeah, it's... There you go. You're getting your price increase.
Second price increase.
Yeah. So, one of the reasons that I don't, it's odd because before this year, I didn't necessarily buy consoles because I was concerned the price might go up.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, that's not the case.
Right.
I'm buying consoles when they release because I want to be the one of the first to have it, or I just, you know, I really, really want the system for whatever reason.
In my case, I was looking at the PlayStation 5 and that, and the price hike was coming, so
you were like, you better get it now.
Yeah.
But this year, and I know I realize that there's only been one console release, and I'm talking about the Switch 2, I absolutely bought that in the real fear that if I wait until the holidays, which is normally when I would probably get around to getting it, it's going to be higher. Or even just waiting regardless.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't necessarily feel like I needed a Switch 2 right then.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking it over and reading about it and thinking, like, there's a possibility here. And we talked about this. We talked about this on the show. There was no chance the price was going to get dropped. In other words, what they had said the price was going to be $450 and for whatever the two different SKUs were and the prices were, that was it. They can only be higher than that if that's the case.
Between the case of tariffs and the fact that it's Nintendo, it ain't going down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so it's only going to go up if it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might as well get in while you can before it goes up.
Yeah.
And so that's what it did. And I will tell you again now, if you missed out on that first price hike, here is another chance for you to not regret it. And pick up an Xbox console if that's what you want, you know? If it's something you were eyeing, if it's something that you thought the first time when the price hike went up and said, ah, man, well, now it's a little bit too pricey for me. I really can't do it. I'll hold off and pick, well, now it's about to go up again. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind how you felt if you were looking for one and the price went up to what you're going to feel with the price going up again.
Yeah,
because now you can point to, like they did in the article there, you can point to the original price and show where it stands now in the span of 6 months.
Yeah.
This is not something that happened, well, last year it was this, and now this year it's this. Yeah. No.
Same
earlier
year.
This year, it
Same
went
year.
Up. This year, and now it's going up again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guarantee it's not going to stop. There's no guarantee that we're not going to have an article 4, 5, 6 months again from now to where...
Just before Christmas.
Yeah, man.
Something has happened in the...
You think just before Christmas.
In the macroeconomic,
I know.
We're going to price hike again.
It's tariffs.
Or, yeah.
You know? Why they just didn't say that, I have no idea. But that because I guess they never do. But, you know, it's tariffs.
They could say it. They could say that, or someone's just trying to do a money grab or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it's absolutely tariffs, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
By the way, Microsoft making this move, I don't necessarily say it opens the door for Sony to do it, but chances are, if they've got to raise their prices, it's likely Sony's kind of looking over their sort of thing. Their spreadsheets, and possibly considering one as well. Don't know. Who knows? And that's the thing with this stuff. You don't know. Luckily, you got one from them where it says, hey, October 3rd is when these prices take effect.
Yeah.
So at least you know that it's about to happen. You know when it's going to happen. You can, you know, head it off if you want to.
So it's my situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get this information and sometimes we don't. But it was nice to have that. Thar says it's just before the Tokyo Game Show, and then Microsoft will be there. Thar says I have a launch Series X. Hope it doesn't fail now. Yeah, I know. I've got a launch Series X as well, which, like I said, you can sell now for a profit or do a trade-in and get far more than what you would normally get if that's what you wanted to do. And I don't necessarily know that you want to do a trade-in, but... I'm trying to think of what I would get with a trade. I mean, obviously the money, but what is it I would want with that? So,
You said, I hope it doesn't fail now. I mean, they weren't having those old school Red Ring of Death issues like back
not that day. I'm aware of, and mine's been chugging along no problem.
Okay.
Not that it's been getting much use to begin with, but you know, it's you know, it's working fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't read about that as much anymore as you did back on the 360 days.
Mm-hmm.
They just one of the things they made sure of is that when they ship a console, it works now.
Yeah,
or at least the rate of failure is far lower than what it used
mm-hmm.
to be.
Yeah.
To warrant so many people.
Because I still remember that thing, one of those
Red Ring
of
the Death, man.
Red Ringing at a tournament.
Yeah.
I think it was at a I think it was at a final round, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, a 360 Red Ringed in the middle of pools playing a final round. Man, I was like, oh, man. That was a horrible look for us.
It was a horrible look, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a horrible look. It's a horrible feeling for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that when it does, you feel like, uh-oh. That's probably dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot. I get the set. My hard drive. What was it, Sunday? Yeah, this past Sunday.
Yeah.
I did my computer restart. I think my computer had restarted. No, it didn't. No, it did not. Sunday, what I normally do on Sunday is I get up and I go and I start typing up the show posts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that first thing in the morning. But afterwards, I'll fire up Marvel Snap, go in, collect my little daily stuff that's in there, maybe finish out a bounty that's or a mission or whatever they've given me that I can do real quick and knock it out, just get my stuff out of the way. When I went to do that, it was giving me an error when I kept trying to launch Snap. What is this? And it read the error, and I looked it up on the thing, and it's like, usually this is what this means. I'm like, man, I wonder if anybody else is having this trouble, and I looked around, nobody was talking about it, and I thought, well, then it must just be me. So then I went in and I said, well, maybe I should do, there's a thing with Steam where you can have it verify the files. It basically not necessarily goes through the installation process, but it does a scan of your files and make sure there's nothing corrupt or, you know, kind of, it's kind of a reset on the thing. You don't lose your save spots. You don't lose anything. It's just something is sort of, it's your first action of unplug it and plug it back in situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's simply do this first and see if that fixes it. And it's like, I can't find any files. And I was like, what? What's going on? And this is when I noticed that when I looked at my library, my installed games were all gone. My hard drive had completely disappeared. The one that I had put most, if not all, of my games on mm-hmm. had completely... Windows did not see it. The computer did not see it. And I did a restart, or no. I didn't even do a restart. I just said, what is the problem whenever you have... I went to Device Manager, saw that it had an error on that drive or something like that, where it's like, hey, there's something here, but we can't see it. We, you know, whatever it is, and looked up the code for what that is, like code 10 or something like that in Windows. And one of the things was, well, check your BIOS. See if your BIOS needs to be updated. See if there's an update to the BIOS and stuff. And there was an update. Normally, though, they tell you, unless your computer has any problems, do not update your BIOS. And my computer was having a problem, so I had to update my BIOS. Updating the BIOS, came back in, fine, it's there. Mm-hmm. All my stuff showed back up. Everything was there. Everything was working. But for a brief moment, just like with the Red Ring, I thought, oh, crap. Yeah. Oh, crap. No, I don't want a hard drive failure. No, and this was my, by the way, this was my NVMe drive.
Mm.
It was my 1 terabyte NVMe Western Digital 1 terabyte drive.
Mm.
Hated that. But it came back up. It was fine. It worked. So,
yeah,
I'm good. Then I ran Crystal Disk, I think is what it is, a program that checks the condition of your hard drives, and it's... I ran that earlier before it was recognized, and Crystal Disk's like, here's your hard drives, but it did not show that one.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I noticed was is that when it showed that there was something there, but it's not being able to be read in Device Manager,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what is it? Which hard drive is that? Because I'm like, I see B, and I see G or whatever else I've labeled these things.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, which one is missing? Because I don't... I just, it's, yeah. It's not something I normally pay attention to.
Yeah.
B drive is like, in fact, it's labeled B because it's my biggest. It is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a SSD. It is a 4 terabyte massive hard drive space, which is where all of our videos go, all the music stuff. It is the big chonker, you know, where most of my stuff sits. So I knew that one. And then my C drive just runs Windows. So I knew that it wasn't my NVMe that runs Windows. So obviously that's working. And then there was another SSD that was working fine as well. And then I was just like, what's the other one? I don't know. Anyway, when I finally got it all, you know, working and everything as it should be, I ran that disk checker. And it showed that, hey, everything's running good, you know. Yeah. It didn't give me any errors on it, but it just made me wonder, though. It was like, you're running good now, but why did you mess up? Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So now I live with the fear of, at any moment, at any time, one of my hard drives could just be gone.
Computers do that.
I get that they do it.
Computers do that.
But you don't think about it until it happens that one time. And then when it does and you bring it back, that's all you're going to think about. Like, is today the day that it's going to go away again? And if it does, and I've already updated my BIOS, what's the next step?
Okay, did you back any of these things up?
Oh, I need to, but I haven't.
Oh, yeah? Well, there you go. All my stuff was...
To be honest with you, the only stuff on that thing, I think it's called the G drive because it's games.
Yeah.
that's, if you want to peek into my mind of how I label things, it's not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
B for big, G for games. And so all it has are my games on it, but all my game saves are like on the cloud and stuff like that. It's not like I would miss anything if that drive failed. I should go through it and make sure, but as far as I know, it's just all games.
Yeah.
So all I would need is just another hard drive, plug it all back in, and then re-download anything that I wanted to re-download. But it's not going to... I'm not going to, as far as I know, and I need to look at it, but I'm not going to lose any crucial stuff if that hard drive fails. It's just a really good hard drive or expensive hard drive, a terabyte in an NVMe that I would rather not lose. Not only that, if I do have to replace it, I'm going to take the whole PC apart. The thickness of my graphics card is covering up that hard drive slot on the motherboard.
Yeah, it's always the graphics card that causes the issues in terms of getting in there easily and taking stuff, in my experience anyway. It's always that graphics card that messes things up.
Yeah, so then I got to go through and just...
Yeah, but in my case, hard drives, I it's not like I expect them to fail, but I'm not devastated if they do because I guess a little paranoia comes in because I back up a lot of stuff. Flash drives, external hard drives, things of that nature, backing up stuff that I need just in case something happens.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, if a hard drive fails, you know, if I can't bring it back, I just got to get it replaced. And that's the hard thing about it. So it's not something I dwell on, really, because I have a backup, if need be.
I haven't done a backup on this machine in a while that I know of. I don't remember the last time I've done a backup on the machine. I mean, it's overdue, but at the same time, again, specific to that drive. Now, our videos and stuff like that, they do get backed up to an external drive. Like twice a year, once at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, I take last year's stuff and I move it. And then about 6 months in, I move everything over again, just to make sure. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I don't have either saved in some form of cloud type thing or accessible through like where I've sent it through an email or something like that where I've got it as an attachment or whatever. So I don't know, it's worth going through and doing a backup. I haven't done it in a while, but it's worth doing.
Long story short, if it's important to you folks, back it up.
Basically. Listen to RJ. Don't listen to me. We're gonna come right back and talk, finish up the news here. When we come back, we got music here. You'll know this one, Crystal Dynamics.
Okay.
I don't know, I can't really give you a hint.
Okay.
And I'm not going to start the music because it's only 56 seconds long. It is from Samurai Showdown.
Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah. Would you remember that, Samurai Showdown?
Sen?
Hmm?
Might be, is it that Samurai Showdown Sen? The one on Xbox.
I don't know.
I don't think I played it, but I heard of it.
Yeah, you could look at it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a fighter, isn't it? Isn't Samurai Showdown a fighter?
Yeah. Yeah, and they
Bushido Blade's the one where you can chop off arms and stuff in
Bushido
a fighter.
Bushido Blade is a turns you into a one and done.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get hit in the right spot, you're done.
Yeah.
That's Bushido Blade. Yeah. But yeah, Samurai Showdown, SNK normally, but then they did a version on Xbox. I think it was called Samurai Showdown Sen, S-E-N. And I'm not sure how well it was received, but I think it was kind of hit or miss on that one. But yeah. But I didn't attribute it to Crystal Dynamics, really.
Well, you can't... Crystal Dynamics... I don't know if you can see the screen there.
Yeah.
Trying to see what it is. Oh, it was also called Samurai Spirits on the Panasonic 3DO.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Oh, there it is. 94.
Yeah.
Must have been the original...
That comes from Internet Archive.
Yeah. That's a remake for different systems.
Apparently it has Gex on there, too. Oh, this is the manual. Oh, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Remember manuals?
I mean...
Paper manuals? Yeah. Booklets, yeah.
Look at that.
Collectibles now.
Manual. Oh, look at that. Then you have your characters.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is... Oh, don't forget, you have your free sampler disc that comes with Gex, Off-World Interceptor. What is that other one? Total Eclipse and the Horde. Plus, looks like it comes with a month of America Online.
Yeah, back when they gave you free stuff with your purchase. Remember those? Yeah. Extra controllers, extra games, extra demos, all types of good stuff.
Yeah, check out the latest game tips, hints, and bulletin boards and product previews in the Crystal Dynamics area on America Online. Just locate the America Online brochure in this package and order the free American Online Starter Kit. Upon receiving your software, sign on and use keyword Crystal to locate our area. Oh, God, the old crystals. I don't mean sandwiches. Man.
1994.
Look at that. Anyway, that's what this music's from. The name of the track is called Earth Earthquake. I don't know why, but that's what it's called.
That's one of the characters.
Oh, okay.
One of the characters' name is Earthquake.
Oh, yep. All right.
There you go.
Well, here's his theme. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Forgot I put this in there.
How?
I just forgot I did it. Not that I... Because I did it on like Tuesday or Wednesday of this week.
Yeah.
Is when I did it. And I totally forgot that... Oh, yeah, that's right. It's in there. And I wanted to kind of say something about it before it played. But obviously, where it fell into the rotation didn't really give me that chance. So... I had a number of different options for this game.
Okay.
I went with this one because of the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, you know what? I don't think I've ever played anything like this in any of all the video game music selections I've done. I don't think I've played anything
does
like
it,
this.
Does it fit with the game?
It does, yeah.
Okay, it does. Okay.
And to understand what I mean, or what that means is I'll tell you what this game is.
Mm-hmm.
It's something Crystal Dynamics put out called... Disney World Quest Magical Racing Tour. So basically, different parts of the theme park, there's races set in there. I could have picked the Space Mountain music. I could have picked The Haunted Mansion music, which the Haunted Mansion music is just the same Haunted Mansion song that you hear when you go through the thing. Mm-hmm. I also could have picked It's a Small World After All and just ruined everybody's day, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Big Thunder Mountain or whatever this is from, you know, the Country Bear Jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, I've never played anything like this before. And I likely won't have a chance to play anything like it ever again, so let's go ahead and use it.
Yep.
So there you go.
Good job.
I've never done it before.
Racing title.
It says Disney World Quest. Imagine, you know, let me go back. And again, this is fantastic. This is fantastic radio for folks.
Mm-hmm.
But also a fantastic Twitch content because it's not up there either. Disney World Quest Magical. There it is.
Hmm.
The Magical Racing Tour.
2000 Kart Racer.
Yeah, there's the... Well, you can't get any bigger on the box.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Is there video? What is it? What do we have? Gameplay. There's different people to pick from.
13 racers. And
God, look at the names. I don't know who Oliver Chickley the Third is.
Mm-mm, probably some character from some obscure... Then we'll see Amanda Sparkle, Bruno Biggs, Otto Plugnut, Oliver Chickley III, Polly Roger, Baron Carlott, Tiara Dimage, Mo Whiplash,
Ned Shredbetter.
XUD71 Up, Chip and Dale, Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, not Up. The Ned Shredbetter was initially unplayable.
Unplayable, okay.
And then the other two, Chip, Dale, and Jiminy Cricket, they appear outside of the game.
Hmm.
Racing vehicles.
They're outside the game, but they're on the cover.
Yeah, exactly, to make you think. Racers, Jiminy Cricket, Chip and Dale, and then there's the different ones that you can play as. And there you go. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad was one of the tracks. The Haunted Mansion, Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Tomorrowland, Test Track, Rock and Roller Coaster, Dinosaur, Blizzard Beach, Typhoon Lagoon, and Disney Studios.
Hmm.
Soundtrack features authentic Disney music from the attractions, with the exception of Space Mountain, which features music from the Disneyland version. Interestingly, the soundtrack contains at least three holdovers from past Crystal Dynamic games. The music for Dinosaur is listed from the Prehistory Channel level of Gex Enter the Gecko. The music for Blizzard Beach is lifted from Gex 3, albeit with a portion containing the Gex 3 theme replaced by a section of Tis the Season to be Jolly. Okay. Lastly, the music for Rock and Roller Coaster is derived from Total Eclipse's Aqueous Major? The first level in the game. All of these games have been released on the PlayStation, a console. Total Eclipse was released on Total Eclipse Turbo console, which is also on. Okay.
Hmm.
Trivia, the box art. We had a Game Boy Color version, PC CD-ROM version. What else do you see?
Dreamcast. Never had it for the Dreamcast.
No. Main menu screen. Look at that. Ugh. Yeah, it was a racing title.
Yeah, kart racer. Yep.
Didn't look like a great one, but it was a racing title. Mm-hmm. Cashing. Oh, God. Look at those. Well, now we have character people, too, that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can see who Amanda Sparkle is. Baron Carlott. Looks like an alligator. Mm-hmm. Mo Whiplash. Looks like one of the country bears from the Jamboree there. Polly Rogers from the Pirate Play. Okay, so they all fit their theme of where they're from, basically.
Yeah.
All right, that was a nice little blast from the past. A little walk down memory lane of something I've never played before.
Mm.
So I don't really have many memories of that. Anyway, welcome to the show. We'll kind of wrap things up as we're moving along here. Ah, gosh. What else we got going on? Assassin's Creed Black Flag is getting a remake. We don't know when, but we know they're working on one. French publication, French-named magazine. don't know how to pronounce, has posted information on Ubisoft Games in the past, says it's received details on the remake from a variety of anonymous sources. According to these sources, it seems likely that the game is looking at a March 2026 release, but at least one source suggested they weren't entirely confident this target would be reached, given how much work is left to be done. All right, so this is still possibly a good ways away. Mm-hmm. It's reported that Ubisoft Singapore, which previously worked on the naval battle element of Black Flag and went on to develop its successor of sorts with Skull and Bones, is leading development on the remake, with support reportedly coming from other studios like Ubisoft Bordeaux and Ubisoft Belgrade. The magazine reports that parts of the present-day sections from the original Black Flag are being removed and replaced with more pirate-era content. So they're taking out the present-day stuff. Obviously, with Black Flag, I remember the core aspect of it. You're a pirate. You're on a ship. You're going from, you're going all these different islands and stuff, and you're whatever the case. I don't remember much about the modern-day aspect of it. The weird part of that is that I do remember the modern-day aspects from Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because they were building up to something really, really cool, and they didn't stick the landing with 3. Especially where the modern day is concerned. They kept that going in 4, and then they stopped doing they stopped putting numbers on them. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and then Assassin's Creed Unity, and then Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, whatever.
Yeah.
They stopped with all that stuff, but they still kept the modern day elements in a lot of those until, apparently, Shadows. I think Shadows, this recent one,
mm-hmm.
has no modern day content in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little weird considering how the whole concept of the way those games work is done.
Wasn't there Origins?
Hmm?
Assassin's Creed Origin type deal?
Yeah, and it had modern day content in it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I would think that I'm guessing you had a story, something that told the story before the diving into the historical figure.
Right, yeah. Or whatever. Well, the whole setup with Assassin's Creed is with the Animus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're an ancestor of these people you're playing long, long, long after, they've been gone, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But your DNA still matches their DNA in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have that connection. And that was the whole point of it. You get into the Animus device, it finds that person from that period, and you are envisioning, you're in like this whatever dream state mm-hmm. of seeing this person's life from way back when, your ancestor from long mm-hmm. ago, tying it into whatever it is that they did so that you know what to do in the present day with whatever it did they did with their piece of Eden or the apple or whatever it was mm-hmm. That they were doing. Anyway, that was the whole concept of how you were playing these characters to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And in every single one, up until Shadows, apparently, they did that. I don't know how Shadows does it. I have no idea how it all starts and how it puts it in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
But in every single one of them that I played, and granted, I haven't played all of them, but in every single one of them, they may not start off like that, but eventually some point into the game, you get a modern-day element. Even if it's just like a cutscene that you don't get to play or anything like that, you mm-hmm. do get brought back into the modern world and then sent back into the Animus.
Mm-hmm.
On every single one of them. Even with Origins, like I said, you start in Egypt, you start out that way, and big title screen comes up, and blah, blah, blah. But after a while, when you play it, after a certain trigger point or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
You get taken back to the modern day, and I don't remember what the explanation of it is or what any of that's, how it tied into the story, but it is there, is my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it is not in Shadows, and apparently they're going to take it out of Black Flag, which is fine to me. After the botch of 3, after they had this really good setup with 1 and then with 2 and then this failure with 3 to pay off that event,
mm-hmm.
I stopped caring. I didn't stop caring about the games. The games I was still looking forward to playing, but I stopped caring about any of the modern day stuff. I stopped caring about almost any aspect of whatever they're trying to do with their It felt like when a TV show or maybe even a movie builds up too many questions with not enough answers. A lot of some of your really good.
Sometimes they do that to make a sequel to make you come back for more.
Well,
because there's a thing about always leave them wanting more.
Yeah,
but you can, there's a way to do it. There's a good way to do it. But if you, like you say, if there's too many questions mm-hmm. or whatever, you
that was the whole thing.
Yeah,
and there's a specific person, there's a specific writer that I will tell you, and I'm gonna screw up his last name, but it's like Lindelof. Damien Lindelof, whatever, mm-hmm. worked on Lost.
Okay.
Would just throw you would just make just these weird things, but they wouldn't give answers to what those weird things are. And you're like, oh, it's another mystery to the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine for a while. But at some point, you need to answer those, you need to have an answer for those questions. Mm-hmm. You need to pay that off.
Well, yeah, too many mysteries, you forget them.
And they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lost went on for far too long. And there's another thing that, like, just along with the modern day stuff of Assassin's Creed, you really started setting things up, but you did not stick your landing in any sort of time that you tried to stick your landing. You never did it.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely never did it. And that's the way I felt about Assassin's Creed. So once they didn't do it with Assassin's Creed 3, I just thought, okay, well then I don't need to pay attention to whatever this overarching story should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story that is connecting, you know, all these different games that I've been playing, and then this behind the scenes, but this modern day aspect that is linking them all together, I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because they obviously weren't worried about it either. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, we're not going to get that. It's also claimed that Ubisoft plans to remove loading times to enable players to sail to each location in one unbroken sequence, something that's already possible in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and will add more content to the smaller islands on the map, which in the original game usually only contained a chest or two. Finally, it's noted that the game isn't aiming to be a complete remake in the style of Resident Evil 2 or 3, nor is it a simple remaster. It's claimed the remake will use the latest version of the Anvil engine, which was used for Shadows, and will naturally look better than the original, but the publication warns that players shouldn't expect current-gen systems to be pushed to their limits. There apparently will also be, and I don't know if I just overlooked that, but there will apparently also be some stuff that was cut from the original game that will be put back in to this one
mm-hmm.
to, you know, extend the gameplay or whatever it was. There were some side stories for some of the other pirates that you come into contact with.
Right.
That you would have had. And by the way, when I say other pirates, you know, the real-life counterpart pirates. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get to play those, play out those stories in mm-hmm. this next thing. Whenever we get it, whenever it rolls around, whenever that happens. So, 4 is probably my favorite. No. Nothing could beat what they did with 2. When we went from Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2, it was really where you could point to a game, this is how you do a sequel. This is how you make a sequel to a game. Mm. You improve upon every single aspect of the first. They absolutely did.
Nailed it, huh?
Well, to the point that anything that came after was just like, that's it, you peaked at 2. And I don't necessarily mean you peaked at story-wise, but as far as your gameplay mechanics and everything else, all the improvements you could make,
mm-hmm.
that was it. When you play games that followed Assassin's Creed 2, you're playing them on the shoulder of that game there. All those things, all those mechanics, all the different things that you're playing with at this point, up until, I would say, when they went to the 3 recent games, the RPG element games of mm-hmm. Origins and Odyssey and Valhalla, those 3, and maybe Shadows, I don't know. Mirage seemed to go back to what you had with Syndicate and Unity and all this other stuff. But everything that came after 2 was using all the improvements of 2. It's like they didn't really... There was no game that made a jump like 1 did to 2. Or like 2 did from 1. Mm-hmm. 3 didn't make a huge jump from 2. 4 was more of a redemption because of how a lot of people really weren't fond of 3. 3 didn't give you that verticality sort of sense, you know what I'm saying? 3 was the pioneer days, I say pioneer days, but you know, the colonial times, the revolution.
Yeah.
American Revolution. And you did not have... Yeah, he could go in trees and move around, and they improved the movement system, but it still wasn't the jump like you had from 1 to 2. And you never got that again, really, up until you want to talk about Origins and everything else. But at that point, they just kind of said, let's do something different, and let's add in RPG elements, let's do all this other stuff that we've never done with the game before.
Yeah.
And that was successful for them, even though I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like that aspect of what they did with Origins and Odyssey and Valhalla. I accept it as what it is and play it because it's there to play and it's fun to play. But, you know, a lot of times I'm saying, that's not my Assassin's Creed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah.
So, yeah, my favorites in the series was Assassin's Creed 2. That is top of the line right there for me. Music was fantastic. The story, the character of Ezio Auditore or whatever, his whole life going through all of that brotherhood and the other one that comes after it. And then to you went from his birth to his death. Like, that's how good of a character he was. Mm-hmm. He supported 3 games, a mainline, and then 2 spinoffs, and then an animated short-type film thing to close out his life. That's how good he was. That's how good they wrote him. That's how good... they made the game to do that, to like, yeah, we're going to close this guy out. And they absolutely did. And they never did that with anybody else that I know of, of any of the characters that they made. 4 was a great redemption. Plus, I mean, it's pirates, and I'm big into that, and the ships and everything else. It really, really worked. The only one I liked after that was Syndicate, just because of the time period of Victorian London. I was absolutely wrapped up in it, Jack the Ripper and all the Charles Dickens and all this other stuff.
A lot of good stories came out of there.
Oh, man, was it good.
Yeah.
Man, was it good. And so, yeah, that's where I sat with it. I still love the series. I love the franchise, and I'll still likely play them all. Mm-hmm. Once they get down to a certain price, I will still likely get around to it, but it was really good.
Is there a collection? A big collection?
No, there's not. I mean, you likely could find something at a store somewhere that gives you everything. Like, if you go to Steam, you can probably buy the Assassin's Creed collection for like $300-some-odd.
Yeah.
But Ubisoft, whenever they have sales, they don't do them in a big collection. They do it in, like, you know, here's the trilogy of Origins, Valhalla, and Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
But that leaves out all the others. And then they're like, okay, well, we'll do... the Assassin's Creed whatever pack, and maybe it comes with Unity and Syndicate and something else.
Mm-hmm.
But never like, here's the massive collection. Steam does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Ubisoft does as well, just not with all the discounts included, so it's like this massive price. I don't need all of them.
Yeah.
At this point, you need a flowchart to figure out which ones you actually have or which ones do what or anything else. It's really kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up. We only got like 2 minutes left, and there's very little I could tell you other than, you know, make sure, yeah. AC Wraith, I seem to remember the sidekicks of the original modern main character finding you as an employee of the enemy and asking you to do spy stuff, and you're a game tester. Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for us. We'll be back next week again, and I hope you will be too. Here is basically the game that kind of started off the reason we did the whole Crystal Dynamics thing. I did not get Legacy of Kain Blood Omen, but I did get Blood Omen 2, the music from that. This is called I Am Kain. You want to know why? Because that line, I Am Kain, is repeated over and over and over in it. So anyway, enjoy that. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Saturday.